Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Roxo Media House.
Jeff Wilson started covering the Texas Rangers in 2008, though he'll never forget 2021. Out on his own, he decided it was time to do a podcast, but his wheels were spinning until a nerd came along. There's no going back now. Welcome to the Texas Rangers Baseball Podcast. Here's your host, Jeff Wilson, and the recliner nerd himself, John Moore.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the Rangers Today Baseball Podcast. This is episode number 75, and today, John Gray is going to join us from Surprise, Arizona.
Yeah.
But we are still in spring training, which is brought to you by Premier Properties. Big thanks to Premier Properties. They are your Main Street realtor in Duncanville, Texas. If you're buying, selling, leasing, or you're looking to have somebody manage your properties, Premier Properties is who to go to. They manage my property. I have a lot of real estate. I'm an investor, and they manage my property for me. But they handle all your needs, no matter what you've got. A big thanks to them. Go to Premier Properties at swdallasrealty.com. That's SW, like Southwest, dallasrealty.com, or call them at 972-298-4000. Give them a call, and a big thanks to them.
Yes.
Spring training, we're back. We were there last week. We got there last Wednesday. We flew in late Monday night. Had about 6 days with the out at the facility.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're going to talk a lot about that, some big league stuff. When we go down in the bus leagues, I want to talk about a few players, Sebastian Walcott. I want to talk about Gutierrez. We got Spies and stuff like that. Not going to talk about them now. I want to talk about our trip there and what we noticed, saw doing that. Henry made a killing. His son was with us.
Yeah, good old Henry. Henry had a had a time of his life, got a lot of autographs, had some pretty cool experiences. So he's still, you know, he's now he's trying to give away some of his autographs to some of his teammates, which is pretty nice of him, you know.
Very nice.
I'm telling him to hold him, but that's all right. It's anyway, yeah, he had a great time, and thanks to everybody who signed his autograph, signed their autographs for him, and thanks for everybody putting up for Henry, you know, in the media room when he was in there for a little bit. And
yep,
he is 10, so he can get a little antsy, but he did a good job.
I was impressed. He really did a good job for, it could be boring when we're in the media room and having to do some things, and he wants to be out there in the middle of it all. But yeah, and let me say this. Yeah, it doesn't hurt that dad is in the media, can meet a couple, but he was out there hustling with the rest of all of them.
No, he was hustling.
He was out there in the, out in the backfields where we have been telling you to go all this time. You can get out in those, and a lot of good crowds.
Good crowds. You know, it's spring break week, so there are always going to be good crowds in spring break week. It'll quiet down a little bit next week, and I mean, that, you know, the end of camp is just kind of the way it goes.
Shout out to Chev. Chev is one of our followers and said he was going to go out and meet us there. He showed up.
We saw Monty.
We saw Monty was there. Right. Yeah, we saw a few of them that saw us there.
Chris.
Chris, Monty, Chev, the friends of mine. I don't know that they were trying to get them to listen, but they knew me, but they were Lee and Charlotte Long.
Oh, yeah, I like Lee. Yeah
Lee
and
was
Charlotte. Nothing against Charlotte either.
Yeah. No. But look, this is what we really love. And like I said, if you guys are coming to a big league game, let us know. You know, depending on what we're doing, me for sure, I can jump down, come say hello at your seats or whatever you're doing. It's easy for me to get away. Jeff is, you know, with the writing and what he's trying to get done. Maybe he can't, but sometimes he will for sure.
Yeah.
If somebody's there, we're gonna do it. But I will for sure and get info to trade out. But hey, look, Premier helped us here. We got to put this out to you guys. You guys need to, if you know some businesses or your business or anything, we have really got some affordable.
Very affordable
sponsorships and partnerships. If y'all want to do it, DM Jeff or me, or you can email Jeff at rangerstoday.com.
Correct.
And we would love to come out and sit at your business and talk about it and do that. Okay. Look, I love spring training. I've said it over and over, you guys. You've always loved, you've been going since you were a little kid.
Yeah.
This is a great year to go if you are a Ranger fan, especially a lot of the hype around the team. Not disappointment. There were people standing next to me when I live streamed DeGrom.
Yeah.
That were like, you know, this is great because I would never be this close to Jacob DeGrom pitching a game.
Yeah.
Not even first row players at a major league game were that close.
That's true.
This is like
That's
walking true. Up to a softball field and watching a ball game.
Yeah. I mean, there's just so many great things about spring training, as I've said many times. And yeah, my first year of spring training was '85. We lived in Colorado. It was the year after the Cubs had won the East for the first time in forever.
And now, there were no Colorado Rockies.
No Rockies. And so we just hopped in the car. I mean, we didn't do it on a whim, but, you know, we were like, all right, let's do it. And so we went down there and it was just great. And we went the next, I don't know, however many years it is, I'm in 12th grade. We went every year from fourth grade to 12th grade. Loved it. The Rockies were there at the end. They started my first year of high school. They started my last year of high school. And then I hadn't been back until I started on the beat, which was my first spring back was 2008. I just love it. I just, you know, the weather's great. Usually it's been kind of up and down this year, but it's the access and just everybody's laid back and happy. And it's like everybody's on vacation. Everybody who's at the game is on vacation and everybody's in a good mood. And it's just a good time. We saw a lot of kids there who were getting autographs. And I mean, it's not just major leaguers. There's minor leaguers out there who sign autographs.
All these prospects you've been hearing about.
It's just a good time.
You could just go out and watch
great
them.
Time.
It's an absolute great time. And the players we were talking about that, we'll talk about this some with John when he gets here. But so you think about this rotation, they've got Jacob DeGrom. They've got Nathan Eovaldi. They've got John Gray, Martin Perez, who's still with Venezuela right now. Right. Then you go either Heaney or Odorizzi or maybe Dunning, one of those three.
It'll be Heaney.
It's supposed to be Heaney going forward, and that's probably what it's going to be. But in either case, every one of these guys, Heaney's a little quiet. We hadn't really had a chance to talk to him. Man, these guys are just so easy to talk to in the locker room.
Good guys.
They'll sit and talk.
Eovaldi will talk your ear off. DeGrom, I think, is pretty laid back. He feels good in this clubhouse. I mean, there's not 25 media people waiting to around his locker. You know, it's four. I think he's starting to feel pretty good about things. And the time I talked to Heaney, he was great. You know, he doesn't like the spotlight. And that's fine, but he gave very thoughtful answers.
My wife's that way. She doesn't, she doesn't want
to. Odorizzi is very good. He's injured, probably going to start the year on the injured list with the arm fatigue thing, but.
Which opens up a spot.
We asked him like one question the other day and he talked for 4 minutes. So, he's got a little David Murphy in him and that's great for a rider. Hey, that's awesome. I hope we get to talk to Jake Odorizzi a lot.
But for me, you've already been out there. It was a chance for me to introduce myself to some of these guys, like Grossman, who I had never met before. Yeah, and I went up and stopped, said, hey, I'm with Rangers today. I'm going to be seeing you out there. He stopped, said, hey, appreciate it. You know, it's nice to meet you. Look forward to seeing you. That's what it's good for us is to make the contact.
You have to go.
Yeah.
If you're a writer, you have to be in spring training. Yeah, it's just the way it is.
You just have to do it. It was a lot of fun. Yeah. I tell you, from the day we got this, we got there last Wednesday. We ended up landing at about 8:30.
Yep.
We got out there pretty quick.
Yeah, we got out there so we could see DeGrom's sim game.
Sim game.
Or live BP / sim game.
That's what it was. Live BP.
And we caught that. And that was pretty much it for the day. We didn't go on the road to Arizona because I didn't want to drive that far.
Right.
So we hung around the backfields. We caught our first glimpse of Sebastian Walcott. Talked to a couple guys. Next, it was an off day, so it was all minor leagues all day. That was a really good time. Introduced ourselves to some players, and Henry got some autographs and scored some big. I don't know. We came home. We think with 28 baseballs.
He had a mess.
He just kept coming up. Hey,
and let me tell you what. There's a chance there, guys, to get balls.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that. Then look, you can hustle for balls. They're all over the place. This is like going to a little league field and a foul ball that comes over and comes out there. It's there. You can get a ball.
Yeah.
And they're usually around laying around. They get moved around a lot, and you can get a ball. And Henry was taking advantage. So a lot of kids. I saw a lot of kids taking advantage of that out there. But, you know, look, I don't know about you, but I'm getting caught up. It's a long day when we're there.
It
I think more than anything for me is we're on our feet.
You're on your feet a lot. Yeah.
A lot.
And, I mean, that's, I mean, there's a phase you go through in spring training where your back hurts after a few days. And
yeah.
You have back fatigue. You just gotta play through it.
Yep.
And it goes away. But yeah, you are on your feet a lot. Try to stand on the grass because there's a lot of cement. Try to give your back a little, knees and joints a little break. But it's a good time. But it is, if you're on the backfields, it is a full day. It is a full day. You get your 10,000 steps. You get thirsty because it's so dry there. You got to have water. Oh,
we went
you.
Through 40. What was it? A 48 pack?
It was a 40 pack
of water.
Yeah.
We had none left.
Yeah. We plowed through that. it's just the way it is. I mean, when you get into a work mode,
Loved every minute of it.
Done it for a number of years, you just know what to expect. And the one thing I always forget is the suntan lotion on the first day. So my calves got burned. Your head got burned a little bit, right?
My nose sticks out from the bill of my cap. I did wear a cap so I wouldn't get my top of my head sunburned, which usually gets sunburned. But I took the shirt off and my forearms get it. And all. I have a farmer's tan really bad every day.
Yeah, that's all right.
Staying out of it. But here's some of the players I noticed. Here's what I'll say. If you want to go watch the live stream, it's still on the YouTube channel of what Jacob did when he did his live stream. It's closer than I've ever been to watching him pitch against live batters like that. The one guy hit the end of the park home run, which would have been gone if it were 10 feet to the left.
Yeah.
It hit off that high middle part. He laughed at it when he did it. I mean, he drove, you know, some of these younger, it was AAA game that he was pitching in.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, to watch that slider move that close and watch that fastball move when he's doing it. I mean, look, he was locked in like these guys, like it was opening day.
Yeah.
And he struck out in what he pitched 3 innings, I think.
Technically, it was 2 1/3 because they had him face an extra batter.
An extra batter, and then he went over and threw the rest.
But he faced 8 batters, struck out 5 of them.
It was. And look, I know you can say, well, he played the triple. These are – they've got prospects in their triple-A organization.
And they don't have an approach. These minor league hitters don't have an approach in these games. Their approach is swinging the first good thing you see.
You're right, exactly.
And so you'll see a guy get 3 outs on 7 pitches and have to pitch it to another batter. And these are controlled games. You can do whatever you want. Basically, it's not in the stadium. So if you want him to face another batter in that inning, he faces another batter, and that's what he did in the second inning, and he ended up striking him out.
Right.
But it was really good, you know. And I really don't have it. I'm not a scout, you know. But I think I know good when I see good, and it was good. And was, you know, impressive. Afterward, he said, my curveball and changeup are going to be plus pitches for me this year. It's like, well, geez, he's going to have 4 plus pitches to work with. So he just needs his health to be plus, you know, and if it is, you know, I've had somebody tell me if the Rangers get 22 starts out of Jacob DeGrom, they're going to be in the playoffs.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, they need, because they're going
to
be.
Now, a lot of things, that's a bold prediction. A lot of other things have to stay in place, but this team certainly is
They've got a chance. They will win more than 68 games.
Yep. Without a doubt. Michael Tepid had one of the funniest lines I've ever heard, and he was talking about it with Manuel Clase. It's something like Teodo, and it's something with Jacob DeGrom. He said, anybody that you can teach a guy how to work a batter. You can teach a guy patience on the mound, not to lose your cool. He says, you can't effing teach 100 miles an hour.
Yeah.
He goes, you can't effing teach 100 miles an hour.
Yeah.
That's just a gift.
Yeah.
And Jacob DeGrom looks so smooth. Meeting him a couple times, what I really noticed in the clubhouse, he is a thin guy.
Yeah.
In shape thin. It's not, but he is like that guy could probably eat 8,000 calories and not gain a pound.
But he's got very long arms.
Yes, he does.
That's another thing I've noticed about him. His arms are really long. So he's going to have the good extension and all that stuff that they talk about. And it's going to look like it's a lot closer to the batter than it is. He's just got a lot of things going for him in addition to the fact that he can throw 100 miles an hour and his fastball and slider look the same until about the last 5 feet and the slider disappears. So it's going to be fun to watch again. Everybody except Mets fans hope he stays healthy, but even the Mets fans probably hope he stays healthy.
Sure.
I mean, you want to see the best players. You know, you don't want to see Mike Trout get hurt.
No,
he's in the Rangers division, and the Rangers have an advantage when he's injured, but nobody wants to see Mike Trout hurt.
Edwin Diaz got hurt in the WBC. Yeah, you want to see that. I talked about that.
You don't want to see, you want to see the best players playing.
If you're beating the best players, it's more legit.
Well, but you just want to see them. If you're a baseball fan,
absolutely,
you want everybody to be healthy. It doesn't work out that way, but you want them all to be healthy and you want to see them perform at their highest level. And so, you know, we're seeing that right now with Shohei Ohtani, you know, what he's doing. Of course, it's been discussed ad nauseum. It's unprecedented.
Right.
He threw a pitch the other day, 102
in a game.
And he had like 118 exit velocity in the same game. You know, that's just stuff that doesn't happen, but you know, and you saw his first couple of years where he was hurt.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to see that. You want to see these guys,
the best player in baseball,
stay
right
on
now.
The field.
Absolutely.
And so anyway, that's
yeah.
Well, so we're hoping this. For the best for DeGrom and Eovaldi and all those guys, just as baseball fans.
So let me ask you this. I did not get a chance to go over and see Eovaldi while, because I was running the live stream of DeGrom, yeah. Which a lot of fun. I think 56 people jumped on to watch.
All right, that'll work.
Eovaldi, how did he look? I mean, I know he's through scoreless innings.
He's really he's kind of like a I don't want to say he's jumpy on the mound, but he wants the ball and he wants to go. You know, right. There's an energy on the mound that he has. And I mean, he was fine. And he was in the double-A game. I mean, double-A hitters can still hit the ball, but he was throwing all of his pitches for strikes. And again, they don't have an approach. And so they knew he was going to be throwing strikes and he was still able to move the ball around, get ahead and get easy outs. So that's pretty good because again, those guys just go up there swinging. Like John Gray pitched one inning the other day in a sim game to kind of get him back on schedule after he had the one start scratch, and then he got to get him on track for the season.
Right.
So he pitched one inning in that minor league game, the same one that Jack Leiter threw in. And every guy swung first pitch,
yep.
And they're putting the ball in play, and like one ball hit first base and went into right field.
Yeah.
And they ended up scoring a run against him, but it, you know, the point is he needed to get his pitches in.
Right.
But it just doesn't work. You know, they just, whatever approach they've been taught goes out the window when they see a major league pitcher.
Sure. Because all they want to do is get a hit off the major
league.
Sure.
It makes sense. But
yep.
But still, it's not always the best situation for pitchers trying to get their work in.
Right.
Because, and like you can look at the numbers, it's like, oh my God, he gave up 6 runs in a triple-A game. It's like, well, he probably pitched exactly the way he wanted, but the hitters aren't major league hitters and we're doing crazy stuff.
Yep, exactly. So, you know, on the offensive side of the ball, watching what we got there, I'll tell you what, we the discussion's gone, and I think it's Kevin Sherrington that's bugging the hell out of Bochy with it, but Corey Seager's hitting .450.
Yeah.
I mean, and Kevin keeps going, would that have been a hit without the shift? Yeah, he's asked that a lot. And I tell you what, some of them maybe, yeah. I mean, I've seen a couple of them that might have been, but Corey Seager seems locked in. Simeon's hitting right around 300. Josh Young has looked impressive at the plate.
Yeah, Nate Lowe's doing good. He has like a 12-game hitting streak, I think, and he homered last night off of Kershaw. Other way,
yeah.
Seager pulled one, homered off of Kershaw. Anyway, to your point, and Kevin's not the only one who's been asking because I have also asked.
Yeah.
So Friday, which would have been the 10th, and then the 11th, Seager had 2 hits in each game.
Right.
So on the 12th, I said, hey, man, how many of those hits would not have been hits last year? And he said, for sure.
Was this Boach or was this Seager?
This was Seager. I asked Seager.
Yeah.
He said, for sure, one on Friday and for sure, one on Saturday.
Would have been
gobbled up
by the outfielder playing, yeah. The guy playing.
And he thought that maybe there was a chance that the second hit that he'd had Saturday might have gotten gobbled up. And then Monday, he was off Sunday, so he played Monday before we left. And there was one that even Bochy said, yeah, that would have been an out.
Yeah, that was the one that with the ground ball that went between the first and second baseman. And yeah, that short, the guy playing in short.
Anyway, you know, but he's also hitting the ball out of the ballpark. And I talked to him about, you know, had he seen the Joey Gallo shift where they moved, I can't remember which team it was, moved the left fielder over into right field. And he said what I thought. Teams aren't going to do that to Corey because he hits a lot of balls in the air the other way.
He does. He does.
And they would get burned.
Yeah. I really, a routine fly ball would go for a double or triple.
Right. I mean, you look at, he he pulls the ball on the ground. He doesn't hit the ball on the ground the other way, but he will hit fly balls the other way. And I think that that's one thing that he has going for him is that teams aren't going to be able to manipulate like they would against a Gallo. And anyway, I think, you know, no one lost more hits to the shift last year than Corey Seager.
And he still hit 242 or 248.
He's going to end up, I'm not going to say he's going to hit 330, but he, you know, 280 seems pretty reasonable at this point.
We'll set the over under at 280. We're going to ask you guys, what do you think the over under? I think it's the over. I think he hits close to 300.
I mean, 330 is a little. He's done it in the past, but
330 is an MVP year if he's dependent on home runs and RBIs and where the team ends up.
Well, not even that anymore. some people just look at the value of the player, but he's going to have a better year.
Yeah,
and the shift is going to be the reason for it. You know, it seems like everybody's adjusting to the pitch clock, the hitters and the pitchers both. We went to the Friday game in Mesa, which was a 3-hour game because it was 12-11 final.
Yeah.
And, but the next day, the game was 2.5 or 2:20 and it's baseball,
right?
You're not missing anything. It's 3 outs.
Yep.
You know, it's the quality of the game is not being affected at all.
No.
You have less time to go to the bathroom. You have less time to buy a beer. Okay. That's fine. But it's still baseball.
Yep.
And it still feels like a normal game.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it just 3 outs. Okay. 3 outs. It just feels like a game. It's just a little bit faster. They're cutting the fat. They're trimming the fat.
Yeah.
You know, and it's still enjoyable. It's more enjoyable. Yeah. I mean, 3-hour games are miserable.
They can be, especially in the press box when we're up there. I mean, look, I get it. I'm a Ranger fan. I want the Rangers to win all the time, but there are times when you're like, just get the outs and let's get going on this because it's 11 o'clock at night, you know, 10:30. We're looking at the clock going, we're not going to get out of here at 11:30 trying to get this stuff done. And don't get me wrong, that, you know, I'm not trying to say at the expense of getting home late, I want the Rangers to lose a game or anything. But yes, I tell you this, I noticed too, Jacob DeGrom is not going to have any contention with that pitch clock. Yeah. He is a fast worker.
Yeah.
You said Evaldi's kind of that way too.
Yeah, I just really, pitchers don't want to work slow.
No.
And the fielders don't want them to work slow. You know, the fielders want to be kept on their toes so that they don't get lulled to sleep and
absolutely
are falling back on their heels when a ball's hit to them. No, it's just going to make the game better all around. And anyway, we harped on this last episode pretty strongly, and it's still an issue. I mean, it's the overriding story going into this season. But it feels like everybody's made an adjustment, and that it's not going to. I think fans might have to adjust a little bit, but they're gonna end up enjoying it.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. I think that too. Anything else before we get John in here?
No, just a couple things. You know, Seager is, I think, tied for either the Major League lead or the Cactus League lead in home runs with 4. Like I said, Nate Lowe has a 12 game on base streak, I believe.
Grossman's been pretty good, and so
Grossman's been good. Brad Miller's been good. Young has really impressed. He's been really good defensively. I feel like, you have to decide, who makes the team. Is it Smith or Duran? They could both make it theoretically. I think it's Duran. Is Leody Taveras going to be ready for opening day? If not, that could open a spot for Duran /Smith.
Right.
But it's not going to be, he's already hitting left-handed. Leody is, it's not going to be a long deal if he is out.
Yeah.
He just has to get at bats.
Right. He's got to get his ABs ready and get in his rhythm before he gets there.
Yeah. So like exactly. when camp breaks, on the 25th, I wouldn't be surprised at all if he stayed and played the next day in a minor league game. He could even stay the next 2 days. I know the Rangers have exhibition games, but they're going to be playing those by the rules. He could stay the next 2 days, that Monday and Tuesday, and bat first in every minor league game.
Right.
He could bat first in one inning, go across the sidewalk, bat first in the next game. They could stagger the start times to allow that to happen. I mean, that's what controlling. That's why minor league games are so valuable for major leaguers at this point. It's because you can control them. He could get 20 at bats in one day. You know, and that's what he's going to need. Now, you know, the injury, you don't want to overtax it and everything, but still, there are a lot of ways for him to get a lot of at-bats and maybe get caught up in time for opening day.
I agree. All right, John Gray?
Yeah, John Gray time.
All right, guys, we'll get John Gray on right after this, and then we'll go down in the bus leagues. Rangers Today spring training coverage is brought to you by Premier Properties. Whether you're buying, selling, leasing, or have someone manage your real estate, Premier Properties is the place for you. They've been serving the DFW area for over 30 years, plus they manage my property, so I should know. If you have any real estate needs, call them at 972-298-4000. That's 972-298-4000. Or go to swdallasrealty.com. That's SW, like Southwest, dallasrealty.com. That's Premier Properties, your Main Street realtor. All right, guys, and joining us right now from Surprise, Arizona, it's Texas Rangers right-handed pitcher John Gray, a friend of the show. He's already been on the show once, had a blast with him, and just talked to him while we were out there last week. John, what's going on, bud?
Not much today. Thank you guys for having me. This is going to be fun. It was fun last time, but yeah, I'm not doing much today. Just kind of watching some ball.
You did a lot. You did a lot yesterday,
though. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Talk about your outing last night. It was, what, 4 scoreless against the Dodgers? How did was it as good as it looked?
It was definitely better than it was in the bullpen warming up before the game. It was really trash. It was terrible. I mean, if I would have been at a tryout, I wouldn't have been picked. It was bad. But as soon as the hitter got in there, it seemed like things were going pretty well. Like we had a good mix. We threw everything for strikes, so that always helps. And I thought we used the whole zone. We moved eyes up, down, inside out. It was good.
So what makes a bullpen trash? What made it trash?
It was timing. It was timing. I felt like I was in 10 different positions going down the mound. Each pitch felt different. You know, it was kind of like that sort of thing. You find your groove. And I just couldn't find it for a long time. It was really frustrating, but the hitter in the box, and it helped.
So it's not like you were throwing balls into the stands or.
Not quite. I got close though a couple times. It wasn't pretty.
Yeah. All right. Well, so that runs you up to 9 scoreless innings this spring, and I know the first outing against the Indians, you were like, that was terrible. I was lucky to be scoreless. And then the second time out, you were working on your sweeping slider. It wasn't where you wanted it. So, I mean, we're 2 weeks from opening day. How are you? In terms of where you want things,
I'm getting a better idea, and I've been throwing both sliders this year just to kind of see if maybe I can use 2 different weapons. And because I don't really rely on the curveball a whole lot, it's something I'll use 5 times a game maybe. So, yeah, if I can get 2 different shapes, 2 different actions out of something, I think it could go a long ways. And the speed differentials, it's a little different speed too. So I feel like they're 2 different completed pitches, but they're both effective.
Okay. So this is year 2 for you with the Rangers. How would you describe year 1? I mean, it seems like it was good. It was frustrating because of the injuries. How did that first year go for you?
Oh, it was a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun with the group here. The guys have been awesome. Like, really good group of guys. I felt embraced by him, and I feel like it was good, you know, pitching wise. But yeah, the injuries kind of made it hard to enjoy most of the season. So, it started off, you know, really just with the blister in the knee, like within a month of each other. That was kind of that was a tough go. But I feel like as the season went on, it got better, and that's the number one key for me is stay healthy. So I've made that a priority, and so far everything's been pretty good. I had a little scare, but staying healthy is going to be key for us.
So what's it like this spring compared to last? I mean, last year was crazy because it was a rush job, but there's been like a whole turnover. You know, you've got that wall of pitchers that you're on, that row of lockers with DeGrom and Heaney and I don't want to leave anybody out. Eovaldi, sure, and Odorizzi.
Yeah.
It just feels different in there. Like, you guys.
It does. It does. It feels a lot different. It feels short like last year, but it does feel a lot different. And with, you know, we had the pitch clock now, so the game feels a little different too. But yeah, I mean, I haven't been this excited for a season in a long time. So, especially seeing what we're putting together, it's going to be a lot of fun to be a part of it.
We left Monday, and that was the day that Jacob DeGrom threw his first game on the backfields, and you came out of the clubhouse. We ran into each other, and you'd watched it from the clubhouse. What do you see that non-baseball people like John and I? What makes Jacob DeGrom so good?
It's so over. His stuff is so overwhelming that, like, his room for errors. I don't know. It's to be able to do what he does and still move the ball around like he's a guy that throws 90. You know, like it's pretty incredible for someone that's pumping 100 with the nasty 90 mile an hour slider. You know, he definitely knows how his game works. I think his fastball is really impressive. Like, not just the speed of it, but it does have like this. Not only is it 100, but it looks probably 105 because it's so hard to pick up. But man, it's a lot. I've watched him throughout the years, and I've always thought it was amazing. Like, I've always wanted to stand in the box and just see his fastball, but never got the opportunity for that. But it's, yeah, that, I mean, it's incredible to watch. It's a lot of fun.
Well, he commands his pitches, and can, you know, he's always what was it last year? He walked 100, or he struck out 101 and walked 8. So I mean, he's always around the zone. So you could get in there, I think. You'd be safe. It's not like, you know, it's not like he's all over the place and would hit you or something. But
right. Our guy has to really like sell out on a certain pitch in a certain area to have a chance.
Man, that's nuts.
Oh my gosh.
But he, you know, he's not the only one. Evaldi, they both seem like great guys.
Yes.
Like Jacob seems totally relaxed. I mean, I don't know what I expected from a guy who's been in New York his whole career.
Right.
I think he'll talk to you at the locker, joke around with you. He just seems like he really fits in here. And I think Evaldi could fit in anywhere, but
yeah,
seems like there's a good chemistry with those cats.
I get that sense too. Yeah. He's super chill, you know, and like, doesn't have like the, you know, super all-star attitude or anything like that. He's like really down to earth guy. Love that.
So what can this team do in 2023? I mean, I know you guys have to stay healthy. Everybody has to stay healthy, but what can the Rangers do? How good can you guys be?
The sky's the limit really for us. I know we could have been a lot better team than we were last year. So I feel like there's an easy advantage to be a lot better to begin with, because we could do so many little things just to be a better team, and it could have been a huge difference. But then, you know, this year it seems like we're coming with a whole new like caliber. So it's going to be twice the fun. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch. Just to be part of it, like just to have that spot, you know, just to go every 5 days and compete with the squad. It's going to be a heck of a lot of fun. I mean, I think we're a really good team.
Yeah, I know people talk about the pitching additions, but Bruce Bochy and Mike Maddux are a big deal.
Right.
I'm sure you deal with Mike a lot more than you do with the manager, but what have your interactions been with them so far?
You know, same. I would say down to earth, like I can talk to those guys, and it seems like, you know, you're talking to your buddy. It's not. I don't feel like there's any disconnection there. I feel like everybody clicks pretty well, and I love the old school kind of feel from them. I like that. Feel like I've gotten away from that, so it's fun to have that back. And just hammering the basics, like that's been a big, you know, that's been big for us, and it could be, you know, really big for our team, like how I talked about last year. But I like it. It's kind of like hard-nosed military style, but I like that kind of stuff.
Yeah, we talked to Chris Young about these guys are old school, and he's like, well, you know, they've had to adapt, but they're old school. I mean, you know, Mike Maddux, he likes, you know, we were talking about Jack Leiter, and Jack likes to throw the high fastball, and Mike is like, I love high fastballs, but I love a fastball at the knees on the outside corner. You got to know where you got to know where your strikes are. It just seems like it's kind of going back to basics. Like in this age of analytics, you can get away from that. So well, I think this is a huge deal. Yeah, for you guys.
He's been great about, you know, hey, if this is you, you pitch up, you like the, you know, ride your fastball. He's been all about it. Like do your thing, do what makes you good. I love that. You know, I don't like, I'm not a fan of cookie cutter stuff, and he's not all about that. So it's been awesome.
Yeah. You're wearing the St. Patrick's Day hat because it is St. Patrick's Day. But before we left, Tawny Taylor came up and said, "Hey, we got your hats ready." And talk about the hat that you're going to have coming out this year.
I know, I should have worn it in today. It kind of looks like a golfing hat, but it's got like a gray front and black back to it. Kind of like this style, I guess, but, and it's for a military thing that we do where we host our military families every other week. And, it says Mission Gray Wolf 22, and it has this cool like emblem, like the sergeant emblem, and a wolf on it. And it's pretty sweet. Looking hat.
How did you get into that military appreciation?
My family and my wife's family, we both have a lot of veterans in our family, and it's and they've been big parts of our lives. So we kind of understand what goes on. A little bit, you know, like a lot of people don't really understand like how much gets sacrificed, I guess, and how much is put on the line, but we're just big appreciators of that. And we just like to give back a little bit. I think that if we can get, you know, a family, like a military family out there, just to spend a day at the ballpark with this, I think that goes a long ways. And I think it's really important, like, just to, you know, get out, have fun with your family, kind of cut loose, like let everything go. And I think it's been good.
People really like it. Do the Rangers find the families? Is there a way for these families to sign up?
You know, that's a good question. I'm not really sure how they go about finding the right or who they pick, but no, it's been, everyone has been awesome, like fun. I get to talk to them, get to meet them, get to thank them. It's been great.
And I'm assuming it's on non-start days.
Yeah. Most of the time. Yeah.
Yeah. It'd be pretty hard for you to meet them on a start day.
Right.
Yeah, you know, the one thing that I get it, as a media guy, but like, it's like when a starting pitcher walks into the clubhouse and we're in there, it's like, we don't even want to look like make eye contact with you guys
on their day,
on your start day. It's like, oh man,
out of respect.
It's like, oh man, this is weird.
Diva day. I call it my diva day. I get to be a diva all day long. It's my way. My wife knows about it. It's like, it's my day.
you get to come in late. You get to, Yeah. Nobody has to bother you. It's perfect.
You should be a diva that day, man. I totally agree.
Zone in.
All right. As you remember last time, I handed over to John at this point, let him ask you some different kind of fun stuff. Less business, more fun.
And we had fun last time learning all about where you grew up, when you got drafted. You were drafted a couple times. You ended up getting drafted third overall to the Rockies. You know, I'd never asked this and I wanted to, where was your first pro season? Where did you play your first pro ball?
Grand Junction, Colorado.
Grand Junction. Okay. All right. That's always fun to ask. Now,
no, as a Colorado native, you know, like Grand Junction is 4 hours away from Denver and it's entirely different climate. Does the ball fly in Grand Junction because it's dry, but it's still elevated? It's like, it's almost desert.
I forgot you're a Colorado
guy. Yeah, I remember it flying pretty far there.
Yeah, but it's a cool little town. It's right near the Utah border.
It's fiercely unique. Like, and the people love their beer there. Like the dark beer, they're all about that stuff.
Colorado's a good beer state. I mean, Colorado kind of gave birth to microbreweries.
Yeah, you know what? That was going on a while ago. I remember my friend.
Tire was like a microbrew that Coors ended up buying and turned into a big deal. But that was like Colorado really is kind of the birthplace of microbrews, but a big player.
It was a big player in it. Yeah, I could see that. All right. What kind of food do you like? What is your favorite type of food you like to eat?
Breakfast food.
Really? All right. Jeff and I talk about that all the time. So are you talking like bacon, eggs? Is it a protein thing? Or do you jump in with some of those pancakes and waffles? What do you do?
I'm a big pancake waffle guy. So I have my waffle maker at home. It's like my special little waffle maker. It makes a perfect waffle. I got it down to a science. It's awesome. But at nighttime, I do like to cook like bacon, eggs, and my wife makes like the best breakfast sandwiches ever. So they're awesome.
So are these Belgian waffles or are they like the smaller squared waffles?
They're like the big round ones. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Well, Kathy, my wife Kathy is the huge pancake waffle guy. She's now going to go, okay, John's my favorite. I want to meet John because she is.
Yeah, you know the waffle makers that turn, they flip over and you until it turns green, you flip back. That's what I got. Yeah, I love it.
Oh man, she would love that.
So you're a big proponent then, as John and I are, of breakfast for dinner.
Yes.
Yes. Oh yeah.
Absolutely. There's nothing better.
Uh-huh. We had right. that. I wanted that to be our Christmas Eve tradition.
Couldn't get it. Is Jen not on board?
Oh, she likes it, but we always end up doing something. But the year that we had Molly was born on the 23rd. We came home the 25th. We had breakfast for Christmas dinner. I thought it was the best thing ever.
God, I love that.
Yeah, awesome. I just want to do that, but I get vetoed on that.
Yeah,
we get steak. I mean, steak's a good number too.
But we do have to defer to the women in our lives. John knows this. He's got to do that too. He's got a wife to answer to. So now let me ask this: a lot of ball players really aren't, especially when you get to this level here. But are you a fast food guy at all?
Oh yeah, like I love like Whataburger. I love Whataburger.
Attaboy.
All right. Do you choose Whataburger over the In-N-Out? Have you had In-N-Out?
For sure. Yeah, Whataburger over In-N-Out.
This guy's winning over Texas hearts more than anyone. And let me tell you what, we have all talked about this. In-N-Out makes a great burger. Yeah, I really good. Do like, I like In-N-Out, but Whataburger's, man, that's the one.
There's some Whataburgers starting to pop up in Colorado, if you ever go back, but I think they're.
Dang.
Yeah. It's a big deal. Yeah.
Okay. Now home cooked meal. So what is your favorite home cooked meal and who cooks it? Does your wife? Mom makes something. You got grandma that makes something you love. What is your favorite home cooked meal and who cooks it?
I might have to go with my wife makes breakfast sandwiches. That's my favorite. Sometimes it's at nighttime. Most of the time it's in the morning, but I'm a big breakfast sandwich guy.
Okay, so what's on it? Tell me what's on the breakfast sandwich.
I do bacon, egg, and cheese on my breakfast. Yeah, and a little bit of mayonnaise too. Like a little bit of mayonnaise sometimes.
Okay, what kind of bread?
Solid. Preferably white, but I'll do wheat sometimes too. Yeah.
Do you toast it?
Yes. Okay. Yes, toasted.
Alright.
With butter, yes.
We're going to do a few more here. I've got all kinds of questions. We're not going to run it because we want to have you on again, and I'll get to some of the other ones then. But all right, is there anything you're binge watching right now? Anything you and your wife are binge watching from Netflix or anything like that?
Harry Potter's.
The movies?
Yes.
How many are we up to? I mean, how many times have you seen these?
We watched them all and then kind of we're going back through them to kind of try to get the rest of the story because we were both kind of like, we both had a lot of holes in our plots and we were trying to fill that. So we're trying to like understand everything. We were at a point where we were like, I don't really get this or that, but now it all makes sense. So I watched them when I was a kid. So now it's a lot different.
Now, is there a new Harry Potter video game?
Yeah, that's what got me into it.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, my oldest son just got back from New York. He's a senior in high school, John, and he's a theater kid and does theater. Like, they went to New York with their class. They went, and he said, surprisingly, the best thing he saw in New York, they went to all these musicals and plays. There was a play, Harry Potter.
Oh.
And he said it was unbelievable. It was funny. Harry Potter is grown up. He's like 30 or 40 in this. He's already got kids. Yeah. And it's on Broadway right now. And he was like, Dad, it's crazy how good it was. So that's funny you mentioned that we were talking about that at midnight last night when I was getting it from the airport.
But you're playing the video game or you were playing it?
Yeah, I've been playing it for like a month now. It's amazing. It's really good.
Well, I talked to John when we were there and said, you know, you seem like a guy that would want to make a video game someday. And he said, man, I could write the story for a video game. Without a doubt.
Yeah.
You were talking about the graphics and stuff.
Yeah. So if anybody here is into graphics and you want to get a hold of John, let me know.
Get a hold of us. And you got to prove it before we let you.
That's right. That's right. He might be able to bankroll it for a little bit too.
So. Yeah. So let me ask you this. So on the team flights, anything particular you do? Are you watching something? Do you guys play cards? I always find this fascinating as someone who played ball and wished I was a big leaguer. It always seems like you hear great stories about team flights. What do you guys do on the flight or what do you do?
For my first like 5 years, I was like a gin rummy player, but like the last few years, I just put a blanket over me and go to sleep. Like I'll turn on a movie. I've been kind of lame. I don't know. I need to get better.
That's something I do too, though. I try to just watch something on my phone, but of course I'm not with the whole group of people that I know. You know?
Yeah.
So you're with all your teammates. That's a little different.
What is the worst charter team flight you've been on? Like, did something crazy happen, or was it long?
There was a time with Colorado when I forgot where we were going from. It was a pretty long flight, but the cabin started filling up with smoke, and everyone was just like, it was really quiet in there. The place just starts filling up with smoke everywhere. It starts coming out everywhere. And flight attendants running from the front to the back with this fire extinguisher. So we were all kind of looking around at each other like, what's going on? Are we going down? Like, is this thing on fire? What's happening? Like 5-10 minutes goes by and it starts to clear up. So we, you know, it was really scary. And we got hit by lightning once. That was pretty nice. But yeah, a few scares.
Somebody's plane just got hit by lightning. I think it was an NBA team. NBA team's charter just got hit by lightning. Jeez. And somebody, I can't remember who it was, but one of the players was thinking that was it. That was the end. They were going down. But
yeah.
you guys fly so much, and you fly at, you know, such crazy hours at times, like, you know, and crossing time zones. And like, I think the worst has got to be Anaheim to Chicago. Or, you know, I think that's as far as a team's permitted to go. Cause Anaheim, they're bastards and they won't do, sometimes they stick it to you and they don't do day games on getaway day. And so you take off at midnight.
Oh God.
And you land in Chicago during rush hour.
That's why you sleep on planes.
Yeah. But yeah, you got to sleep and you got to play the next day. They're like, well, tough crap.
Tough crap.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to end it on a couple of baseball ones, just fun baseball things. Let me ask you this. So as a pitcher, I'm going to ask you about hitting the next time on a home run, because you said you hit a few when you were younger and all that.
Former third baseman.
I know. High school. But yeah. As a pitcher, in all your years of pitching, look, I don't care if you're Nolan Ryan. I don't care if you're Honus. I mean, the number one, the Cy Young. I almost said Honus Wagner, who was the shortstop, but you at some point have given up a home run to somebody. It just happens. I mean, these are major league hitters. Can you remember a certain home run where you just, is there one that stands out where it's like, yeah, I threw so-and-so and I hung a slider and he hit it about 780 feet?
Oh, for sure. There's a few I remember. I'll never forget giving up a homer to David Ortiz. That was actually kind of cool. I mean, I wasn't happy at the time, but looking back on it, it was kind of cool. But I wish I would have punched him out, though, at least once. I did get A-Rod's ticket that year. But I remember J.D. Martinez hit one off me in Arizona. I mean, he didn't miss it at all. It was like a fastball down and in, just smoked it. And it put a dent in the scoreboard in center field. It was hammered. I mean, there was a dent up there. I looked at it all the time. I was like, man, I can't believe that.
You know, and at some point, you just take your hat off and go, all right. You know, you, especially if it's a good pitch. I've seen them where you see it's a good pitch. Someone goes down and gets, somehow drives it away. But, okay, last one. Is there anybody right now, or when you were in the National League, was there a guy that was kind of like your toughest out? I mean, every time that just for some reason that squirreled away and get a hit off of you or whatever, he's just usually it's not even a big name. There's always somebody that I just always – this guy seems to get what I'm throwing or guess what I'm doing or something.
Man, I feel like Kurt Suzuki was the hardest guy to get out for a righty.
Wow.
Like, I swear that dude had like the longest bat in the world. I'd throw a slider 2 feet off the plate, and he would like pull it down the third baseline somehow. And I don't know if he knew what I was throwing or what, but he seemed to be on time with everything. I could not get this guy to chase and miss.
Well, he retired, so you don't have to worry about him anymore.
Yeah, he's right, gone. Yeah. That's it.
No, I did want to. John usually asks this, but your diva day. What do you do on a start?
Yeah, routine day, game routine.
If it's like 7 o'clock, 7 o'clock start.
That's a great one to end it on.
What's your day like?
Yeah, I sleep as long as I can. I try to sleep to like 10, 30, 11 sometimes. Like I'll try to sleep a long time, and then I try to get a little bit of food in. I don't eat a lot on game days. I'll eat maybe a piece of toast and a banana, try to hydrate. Try to keep my mind going. You know, sometimes I'll play like a round of golf on my computer before I go, just to kind of get everything turning, get some ideas. I'm not doing a whole lot. I don't do a whole lot before the game. You know, I stay pretty chill and I start moving around like an hour before game time. That's kind of, I don't really have a fine detailed routine, but as long as I'm in those, you know, those guidelines, I'm good.
So, but like normally you'll get for a 7 o'clock game, you'll get to the ballpark at what, 3?
Yeah, 3:30. Yeah.
So you'll get to on a start day 5.
If it's at 5,
like if the game's at 7.
Oh, if the game's at 7 on a start day, I will. Yeah, probably 4.
Okay.
Yeah. 4:30 sometimes. Yeah.
That's interesting that you don't eat.
Yeah, yeah, I mean it's tough. I don't know why.
I guess you eat right after the game, though. You're probably shoveling in something, aren't
oh,
you?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Because they, but you know that you notice that whenever the starting pitcher, whatever they were covering, and we're there, the starting pitcher does come in after everybody.
Oh yeah,
they kind of, you know, left to their own thing. But John, is there anything else you want to get?
No, just the best one I heard. I don't know if Michael Young told this story or not, but he'll tell it. The game five in 2010 ALDS, they're at Tampa and everybody's nervous and you know, it's a big game. We had a 2-0 lead and now we have to come back here to Tampa. And Cliff Lee is pitching that game. That was, you know, prime Cliff Lee. And he walks into the clubhouse and everybody's eyes were on Cliff. Apparently he knew it, but he goes up to his locker and he's facing his locker and he takes off his watch. He turns around and he looks at the guys and he goes, "We're good." And just turns right back around and gets ready and then goes out there and, you know, pitches his ass off and they end up winning the series. But that's kind of the funniest come to the ballpark late story that I've heard. Of course, the media is not allowed in the clubhouse during the postseason, but that's a pretty good one.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, I like the style of that. That's awesome. That's perfect.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just a confidence that look, your numbers so far this spring have been great. I called for you to have a big year, so he's going to have a big year this year. I've already called it.
Yeah, you got John Moore on your side. You're
I kind of did a projection when I thought everybody would do, and they're like, "You got John Gray winning the Cy Young." I said, this is going to happen, man. I'm telling you. And if it happens, you and I are going out for beers.
Yes.
In Grand Junction, where they love their beers.
That's
love
right. Their beers. Grand Junction. Hey, John, look, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. Every time we come in the clubhouse, you're so friendly. I mean, and all those pitchers. I mean, we've got an all-star lineup of pitchers in this rotation now, the Rangers do, and every one of them, Heaney's a little quiet. We haven't really had a chance to get
to know
him.
We're just getting to know
him. He's getting to know him. But everybody's so friendly. They love to sit and talk for a second, give you their time and do that. And, of course, we've known you from last year, so this is just great. I got a lot of fun more stuff we're going to do, but that means John Gray's coming back on here again.
He loves doing it.
That's right. Hey, John, thanks so much, bud. Have a good rest of the spring. Jeff will see you out there next week. He's heading back before it ends. I'll see you on opening day when we get back to it, bud.
Awesome. It sounds great. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, John. Thanks,
all right, man. That's John Gray, Texas Rangers right-hand pitcher. When we come back, we're going to go down in the bus leagues. And a big thanks to John Gray for joining us here at Premier Property Spring Training Coverage that we covered Premier earlier. We talked about them. Again, when we touched on in the earlier part that we were going to get in depth about what we saw at spring training. Let's get into one guy that I want to talk about. I've been dying to talk about him is Sebastian Walcott.
Yeah.
We saw him in person.
Yeah.
This kid just turned. When we talked to him, he was 16.
Right.
Now he's 17.
Yeah, we talked to him, on that Sunday, the 12th, and he turned 17 on the 14th. So, and you kind of, last show, kind of talked about, hey, we just saw Sebastian Walcott. We hadn't really seen him do anything other than take a couple grounders. And
right.
But we saw him hit. You got the his first inter-squad scrimmage. He had a 107-mile-per-hour single, which you got.
Right, I got it on video.
And then you left and
decided to go meet you for lunch and missed a home run.
Darn it. And then he hit a 105-mile-per-hour home run.
Off of Spies.
Off of Alex Spies, who we'll touch on here in a second. But you know, Walcott, the thing that I thought was pretty remarkable, his father is 6'6". He played semi-pro basketball in the Bahamas. So just Sebastian, who's 6'4", he's not done growing.
No.
You know, I think one guy we talked to projected he'd be 6'5 and about 245 pounds, 250 pounds. That's
not a shortstop.
That's a monster. That's a defensive end. But Sebastian, he's heard the talk that, you know, oh, he's going to have to move off of third base. Well, he doesn't want to. He wants to stay a shortstop.
I know.
And so the one thing, you know, he's going to work really hard on the defense. He's got this, you know, top arm, elite arm, 80 arm. So he could play third. He could play right field, whatever. But you know, he wants to play shortstop. So, and there's no need to move him now.
No.
You know, you give him, you let him do his thing now. Let him learn his position. I mean, let him learn the footwork.
My favorite part of what you, when you were talking to him, when you said, what's your goals this year?
Yeah.
Dominate the Dominican, dominate the Arizona
Complex League,
and then start in affiliated ball next year.
Yeah, he held nothing back. But he's under no false impressions here. He's in Arizona learning the lay of the land, but he's going back to Dominican to start his career in the Dominican Summer League.
But he wants to get back here.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't think he's going to be in the majors this year. You know, he knows it's a long path, and that's good. I mean, he's a smart guy. They speak English in the Bahamas. His English is very, very good.
Very good.
You know, I mean, it's not like you. If we had to go to the Dominican, we'd be in trouble.
Well, Martin Perez, who speaks great English, Sebastian's English is better than Martin's. Now, Martin grew up speaking Spanish.
Yeah.
Right. But man, I was impressed.
Yeah, and the other thing I liked is that Walcott and Anthony Gutierrez are rooming together this spring in the Rangers Village there across the street.
Another big name.
Another, right, the last two prizes of the international signing period, $6 million roughly of talent. They're both big guys. They both really love to hit. You know, people think that Gutierrez is going to outgrow center field, and he might, but... again, it's very early, but you know, Gutierrez looks a lot bigger. Also, you know, a year in the weight room. Jason Morobel or Morobel, damn it, I still don't know how to say it. He looks entirely different.
Oh yeah,
he is not skinny anymore.
No, I mean, he's put it on thick. Some weight. I was noticing that too.
And so, I mean, that's, you know, these guys grow and they change, and you just, that's why you never know. That's why you never try to put a ceiling on them or pigeonhole them into a position. You just kind of let them go and do their thing. So, but we mentioned the home run that Sebastian hit. He hit it off of Alex Spies, who's back in the organization. We spoke to him. There's a story up on RangersToday.com about Walcott, $5.99 a month, $35 for 6 months, $60 for a year.
Yep.
Spies is coming up next. You know, he left.
Interesting story.
He didn't pitch at all last year. He wasn't in the organization last year. I guess the Rangers still had his rights. I don't know what it is. But he said he needed a mental break after 21. You know, he'd come off of Tommy John surgery. He was at the alt site in 20. You thought good things were going to happen in 21. And he ended up hurting his elbow again, didn't need surgery, but it was just a frustrating thing. It didn't come back the way he thought it was, thought it would rather. He has a young daughter who was born like a couple months before the alt site happened. And that was something that he felt he was missing out on. Anyway, we'll get into it a little bit more in the story. He was very open about it.
Yeah, he's pretty nice.
It'll be interesting to see, you know, the talent's still there. He still throws 100, still has a 90 something mile per hour slider. That they think that right now his command is better, his control is better than they thought it would be after taking a year off. I mean, he didn't take a year off. He was throwing bullpens and stuff. But
right.
Anyway, it's pretty interesting. So, I mean, that, you know, right there are four names that we just mentioned, that guys that we saw that are standing out, I guess, what you would say, in minor league camp. Brock Porter, I watched him throw a bullpen before we left.
Never saw him throw. I have video of it.
He pitched in a game Wednesday.
How do you do?
Good. Couple scoreless innings, I think it was. Ryan Garcia, who friend of the show, not that Brock's not, because they've both been guests, but
I got a funny story.
He's very happy, and it'll be fun to see what he does this year, because I think he has a chance to take off.
Yeah, so Garcia was throwing a bullpen, and this is a funny story. I go walking up, and because of you, Mike Maddox now has honed in on me for some reason. And he'll yell at me from anywhere. And I see Ryan throwing a bullpen. I kind of sneak up there where Mike Maddox was over there to watch him. And he yells at me. John Morey comes over there. He starts talking to me a little bit and asks me about Ryan. And so I start talking about Ryan and all of that. And then I mentioned Teodo too. But then Al Leiter came up to see, because Jack was going to be throwing in the simulated game that day or whatever it was in the inter-squad game. So Jack come up, and him and Mike are buddies, and they're talking. And I guess Al asked a question about Ryan, who was throwing. and I had walked away, and he yelled at me again. Mike goes, John Moore. He goes, ask him. He knows everything about this guy. So I'm telling Al Leiter about Ryan Garcia and his UCLA thing. But the funniest thing was, I said, yeah, I heard Teodo threw 103. He goes, who? I go, Teodo. And he goes, he's with us. So, but he was down there. I mean, look, it was middle of the day. He had a game coming up, and he's down there watching minor leaguers. He's got to get, he's getting to know all his staff and all these kids he's got going on and wanted to take a look at them. But that was funny. Ryan Garcia looked good coming off of there. Teodo, I can't wait to see again. And I'm telling you, we said something about Walcott and Gutierrez. These are two guys that could possibly be sitting one and two in prospect rankings here within a year or two. Yeah,
I mean, that's not hyperbole. I mean, there's a real chance.
And maybe in all of baseball, they could be sitting at the top two.
Well, they'll be getting up there if things go right. But
Jim Callis has him on the Gutierrez.
Yeah.
He has Gutierrez on his watch list to make the top 100.
Yeah, that's good. You know, a couple other guys. I mean, Fossey's just having a really good spring. I know he's hit three home runs in Cactus League games.
Yeah, big league games.
You know, he said last fall when we talked to him.
He looks bigger.
He does, but he was just missing, you know, like the first half last year, he was just missing. He had like an 850 OPS. I mean, this guy's a hitter, and he's fallen in the rankings, and maybe some of that is, you know, the draft or whatever. But if people are just judging him by what he did last year at AAA, he had a really good season.
Absolutely.
So I think he's
a man without a position in some people's
eyes.
That
hurts. That hurts too. But you know, if you hit, you're gonna get up. So
right now.
Anyway, and he's Rule 5 eligible after this year. So he'll be on the 40 man this time next year. And it might happen
if he's not somewhere else.
It might happen during the season. It really could. If he's hitting well at AAA and the Rangers need a bat for some reason, it makes a lot of sense to add.
I tell you what, and we need to do this next week as we wind this down for Down in the Bus Leagues. We need to talk about guys that have a good chance or even long shots to make their major league debut this year.
Sure.
And we'll need to you come up with three or four, I'll come up with three or four, because there are some guys that may not even be getting talked about that could possibly make their major league's debut this year. And then there are those that have a real good shot to probably make their major league debut this year that we can talk about. But that'll be fun to do because this is the kind of that time last year we got into this. We did our little predictions and stuff, which are always rough to do, but, you know, your roster predictions you've done and stuff like that. But that'll be fun to do. We ought to start looking at guys that can make their major league debut, some dark horse candidates and some guys that think you could do it.
Works for me.
Anything else for you?
No, let's get out of here.
Yeah, it was a great show, guys. Thanks for John Gray for coming on with us. Once again, guys, go and join the subscribe down below to the YouTube channel.
Yes, sir.
Go down and join Rangers Today. It's $5.99 a month, $60 for a year, $35 for the full season if you want that. We got some other fun stuff going to be coming up with the show. We're looking for some partners for the podcast. You got a small business that wants to look, we'll find affordable ways.
If you got a big business,
small, big, anything, we've got affordable ways for you to get your name out there with the Rangers Today Baseball podcast, as we talked earlier. And we want to partner up with you. Just get a hold of Jeff and I, and we'll come meet you at your business and sit down and talk numbers and get it done.
Absolutely.
Guys, that's it. Spring training. You're heading back out there Tuesday.
That's right.
To finish it off before they come home. Until next time, guys. Thanks again to Premier Properties for sending both of us to spring training, and Jeff's going back. Until next time, we'll see you at the yard.
Roxo Media House.